Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Dina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePauw here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White, Byron Man from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it hot. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real, the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, the hottest station on the net. Check us out live every week on Blog Talk Radio. Catch Real Talk airing every Monday at 8 p.m. and Hot Sugar Tea airing every Friday at 11 p.m. All shows air Eastern Standard Time. Dollhouse Radio is also looking for new shows to add to our roster. If you have a creative concept, people listen when you speak, or are you just reckless, messy, and have no filter and want a platform to show the world what you got, then email us at dollhouseradio@gmail.com. Look for new shows making their debut soon. Dollhouse Radio is bringing to you a hot new show called The Takeover, playing nothing but the hottest in indie music. Only the best of the best will be in rotation. Email your music submissions, bio or one sheet, and a photo to dollhousemp3@gmail.com. Or, if you want to guarantee your spot on our playlist, email us about our promotional options available to you at dollhouseradio@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at HotSugarTea and at Dollhouse Radio. On Twitter at Dollhouse_radio, and be sure to check out our website at www.hotsugartea.com for the latest in porn star gossip, music, and entertainment news. And now, back to your program.
Good evening, everybody. This is one of the Jedi Council members, Ralph, and welcome to an all-new episode of Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. We're going to do a little show for you guys tonight. With all the things going on in the entertainment world, we had to do a show, and we're pretty much going to dedicate it to, if you hadn't seen it, the recent trailer for the upcoming Avengers Infinity War, which blew people's minds away, made people cry, make people wish for May was coming tomorrow. It's just simply one of the best trailers we've seen in a very, 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 very long time. So we're going to talk about that tonight, you know, crowd reaction, once the other two members of the Jedi Council, which is our Wes and Kevin, show up. Oh, and one's on the line right now, so let's bring him in. Well, before I bring him in, we're going to do a quick recap of this week's box office, brought to you by Box Office Mojo. Repeating at number one is the latest Pixar animated film, Coco, which brings in an estimated $27.5 million, and brings its total to a little over $110 million. In second place, still hanging in there, is Justice League, which brings in another $16.6 million, which brings the total to just a hair under $200 and $197 million. Number three, holding strong, is Wonder, on the latest movie starring Julia Roberts, which brings in the $12.1 million, which brings the total to $87 million. Number four, still in the top five after 5 weeks, is Thor Ragnarok, which brings in close to another $10 million, which brings the total to $291 million. And number five is the sequel Daddy's Home 2, which brings in $7.5 million, which brings the total to $82.8 million. And number six is Murder on the Orient Express, another remake, which brings in another $6.7 million, which brings the total to $84.8 million. Number seven, up a dramatic 816%, is the movie Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, starring Oscar winner Frances McDormand, which pulls in as a little bit of a wider release, $4.3 million, which brings its total right now to $13.5. But in the next coming weeks, expect to see that theater count expands, because pretty much everybody is thinking that Frances McDormand is going to be a lock for Best Actress nomination for Academy Award and possibly even win this year. And number eight, with another dramatic jump of 403%, is the movie Lady Bird, which brings in $4.2 million, which brings this total to $16.8 million. And number nine is The Star, the animated film, which brings in the $4.4 million, brings the total to $27.3. And at number 10 is the sequel, Bad Moms Christmas, which brings in another $3.3 million, which brings its domestic total right now to $64.7 million. A couple of other things in the box office. There was another re-release of the movie Titanic. If you haven't seen it, the ship sinks. But that pulls in about $500,000, which will bring its total up a little bit more. It's probably going to get maybe like another $3-4 million out of it. Another film that was released, which I'm really looking forward to seeing, is called The Disaster Artist, which is a kind of a making of behind the scenes of this movie called The Room, which is considered one of the worst movies of all time. But this film is generating huge potential for Academy Award season, which will be crazy that if it does get Academy Award nominations, which is a behind the scenes of what's considered one of the worst movies ever made. But this movie stars James Franco. That movie, in only 19 theaters, brought in just like $1.2 million. But they will be expanding soon, and they will probably be picking up serious considered Oscar nominations. And even still, hanging in the top 30 after 13 weeks is it. It only pulls in a little amount, $110,000, but still a staggering $327.3 million in this total. And it's still playing. It's still playing. So that's this weekend's box office totals by Box Office Mojo. And since our councilman, I'm going to bring him right now. Councilmember Kev, are you there?
Hey, what's good, man?
What's going on?
I'm surprised John Israel wasn't on that list, but then again, I'm not surprised.
I'm sorry, say that again?
So I'm surprised John Israel wasn't on that list.
John Israel, I don't know what Roman Israel actually comes in at number 11. It's only in, which I think is particularly peculiar for Denzel Washington, it's only in 1,669 theaters. It only made $1.9 million. I understand that for Denzel Washington, I was expecting a much bigger release.
Well, the film is okay. I saw it yesterday. I saw that in Orient Express. The Orient Express is gorgeous.
Yes, it was beautifully shot. It was well acted. I did not see that ending coming, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm a little bit surprised about that theater count. I guess they're really putting the box squeeze still. They still ain't learned their lesson. Like, black people do go to the theaters, open it up in more theaters. I mean, but then again, you know what? Theaters actually put in an order for the film to be shown at their theaters. That's the other thing.
That is a very good point, because at this time of year, I mean, you do have Thor, you got Justice League out there, and now you have Coco. I mean, and in the next couple of weeks, Star Wars is coming out. So, you know, now your box office space is getting a little filled. Like, what are you going to, you know, you got that coming out. You got The Greatest Showman coming out. You got Jumanji coming out. So now you got to kind of juggle how many screens you got. Because, I mean, if you had 50 screens, it'd be no big deal. But you got a theater that's got 7 screens and you're trying to get the maximum amount of dollars, you know. Do you take Roman Israel or do you take Star Wars? I think most people take Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the other thing too is not just the theater, because even the Orient Express wasn't playing at a lot, even though it had a large theater, a screen count, it still wasn't playing in certain theaters. Like, I thought I was going to be able to go to Rockville Center and see both of them. I ended up having to go to Roosevelt Field because neither one of them were playing in Rockville Center.
Yeah.
Even out here in Long Beach, Myrtle on the Orient Express, Roman Israel Esquire wasn't even playing out here.
Well, I kind of got lucky. My local theater, because I live in a small city, but my theater had Myrtle on the Orient Express, and I was able to go see it, and I enjoyed it. I really liked it. It was certainly a little different. But then a movie that came that my theater did not get, which I was really want to see, was Marshall with Chadwick Boseman. I really wanted to go see it. No one in my area had it.
That was good. That was really good. I'm surprised both theaters in your area had it. That was really good. I liked Marshall.
They did screen that at the Urban World Film Festival. But I only saw 5 minutes of it. But from what I saw, it looks incredible. Even the story behind it, I was really looking forward to seeing it. And nothing.
Oh,
did not come.
I wish I had known they screened that. I would have watched it again. Because Chadwick, that dude is going to be, he's kicking everybody's butt when it comes to these biopics. This is his third biopic. And he's did well in all three.
Yeah, he really has. Not only has he played Marshall, he also played Jackie Robinson. I thought he did an excellent job as James Brown. But then he's done 4. He was also in the movie The Express. He played Floyd Little, the running back that went to Denver Broncos. He played him. But that was like a quote unquote cameo appearance. It wasn't really like starring Chadwick Boseman. But he's really good in these roles. He's very diverse. He certainly can act. I think he's showing people that, you know, that he can actually act. Let's be real. We already know he's going to kill it in February as Black Panther. We already know it.
Mm-hmm.
That is just coming. It's like a big old shadow rolling over the next couple of months. Like, everybody's saying, come on, February, Valentine's Day. Is it going to be as big as Deadpool? I think so.
Listen. It's all on that theater count, and I got a feeling a lot of people are going to be disappointed. And I say that because right now Disney they're not advertising this thing like they normally would. And I got a feeling that the theater count is going to be under 2,500 or at least 2,500.
Now, ordinarily, I'd agree with you, except for two things. One, I think Disney is not going to promote Black Panther because right now it's way too early. It's only December and it's not coming out until February. But also the gift, I think, because it is Disney and this is a huge part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they're going to push it and they're going to have it out there. I don't think they're going to put it out in 2,200 theaters. I think they're going to push this out in, I'm going to say, at least 3,700 theaters.
You got to think about it. By this same time, they first leaked the trailer, or they did the screening of the first showing of the trailer, NBA Finals. That was back in February. Excuse me. And it seems to me like any other film that came out that early, that they screened early, there were a bunch of trailers that, like, they were showing Thor Ragnarok back to back to back to back to back for months before it came out. I mean, here you go right now. I mean, I honestly would think this is just me being a conspiracy. You know, this is just a conspiracy theory for me. I think they want the movie to do good, but I don't think they want it to do too good to outshine all the rest of their stuff.
See, I don't agree with that one because I think they need Black Panther to do well. Because this is the jump off right before Avengers, the next Avengers movie. So it has to do well. See, Guardians of the Galaxy did well, but it's really not the jump off to Thor. It's not the jump off to Thor. But, like, Thor is the jump off to, I'm guessing, really, Thor would be the first piece of the jump off to the next Avengers movie, but Black Panther is definitely going to link directly into it. So I kind of got the feeling that they are going to make sure that this movie does what it needs to do.
I'm going to tell you, they're going to treat this movie, and I already see the signs of it. They're going to treat this movie as just a fan movie. They're going to treat it as just a fan movie. They're not going to, I'm telling you, just by my observation of what they're doing already, they're not pushing. They're not. And you got to remember, Disney also has just started really getting into other actors and other characters of color. Like you just, you know, even though we had Mulan and we had Pocahontas and all of that stuff, we just got the girl from the Samoa movie. What's her name? What's the name of that movie? The one with the Rock and
Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Ant-Man?
No, not Ant-Man. I'm talking about the cartoon. The Disney cartoon. Moana, that's it.
Oh.
So, they just started doing stuff like Moana. Then you had the other movie with the black girl that was the princess. You know, they're just starting to embrace, colored characters. Still kind of experimenting to see if they're going to be able to make money off of colored characters, which is just stupid to me, but... I'm quite certain with what I'm saying that they're not pushing for this movie to. They want it to do well, but they're not pushing it and marketing it for it to be a multi for it to be close to a $1 billion movie.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think that Black Panther has to be $1 billion. I don't think it has to push $1 billion now. Will I sit there and say that it has to push at least between half to three quarters of $1 billion? Because see, Ant-Man is not a $1 billion movie franchise. It's not, you know, but it is a good half a $1 billion franchise, and I think that's right where the first Black Panther is going to be. Just the same thing, I think, like when the second Ant-Man movie comes out, it's going to push a little closer to that $650 million figure. That's where I think that's going to land. But I think Black Panther is going to do at least $500 million domestically. I mean, $500 million worldwide. I think it's going to do at least $500 million because Marvel needs that. It needs that piece of the puzzle because they got big things coming with Black Panther in the Marvel universe. They got very big things coming with them, and I think they're going to push it because it. Like you said, Disney, little by little, which is still a little too late, well, a little slow, a lot slow, bringing the African-Americans into their productions. I mean, you're right, Princess and the Frog, Mulan, now you got the number one movie in the country, Coco, which is Latino-flavored. You know, now you're gonna bring up with Black Panther. But I think for you to keep the symmetry going between the entire Marvel universe, it's got to do at least $500 million. You got to push it where it makes at least $500 million. You really want to push it more. Now the question is, because it comes out in February, can it do the same type of business that Deadpool did when it was released last year in February?
Once again, it can if it gets the theater count that it's supposed to get. If that movie does not get 3,500 theater count, it's going to be hard. The only way it's going to be able to pick up those numbers is the fact of the time slot that it's in, beginning of February, so we can pretty much clean up at the box office. But it's going to take, it's just going to take more time for it to make its money because of the less theater count. Now, the only thing that will pick up for that, if it's a low theater count but more screening, they offer more times that go later into the, they go later into the night. You know, like an opening night. Opening night probably usually starts at between 6 and 7. So if you get like, and now the theaters are being greedy, and they don't even show, like what they used to do was they showed a standard edition and they showed a 3D edition, you know, to set it all off. Now, for the first two shows are like 3D. Like, who's paying that kind of money, you know, to go see 3D when it ain't, you know, worth it? then you have, then you have, you know, it opening in standard. But once again, is it going to open in standard at 6 or 7 o'clock? And also, is it going to be more than just three movies or three screenings per theater on the day of, on opening day, the Thursday before, or whatever day this is going to be? Well, it'll be a Thursday before that Friday. So if that's the case, if it's gonna open early, then the only other way it's going to make up those numbers is if there are at least, at minimum, 4 to 5 screenings per theater. Meaning that there has to be a 6, 7, 8, and a 12, 6, 7, because it's probably about 2 hours, so 6, 7, 9/10 o'clock, and then a 11:30, 12 o'clock, or 12 o'clock.
Well, we already know that part's not going to happen because of February. I mean, on a Friday and a Saturday, you probably will have something that goes to, depending on what city you live in, may go to 11 midnight. But Sunday, nah, you're not getting into Sunday because it's the regular time of year. It's not summertime.
They will, because they did that with Underworld. They and a couple other movies they did that came out in February. They had screenings that went on. You know, it's not as it used to be when a comic book movie would come out, where they had pretty much almost 24 hours of time spots available for the films. No, but, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but the bottom line is what's really important about the success of this movie is going to be the theater count. That's going to hands down... Because we know it's going to be good. We already know that. I mean, I hate to speculate ahead of time, and you know, just hands down, even if it ain't good, it's good because it's us. You know what I'm saying? And all our glory. So, you know, with that being said, you know, once again, you know, it's the black man out. The two things that's going to help this movie push along the way it's supposed to is the black turnout.
Yeah,
and the theater count. If we're not making up for at least 60 to 70% of the box office when this movie opens, it's not gonna work. I mean, and the other thing that's gonna help it is advanced ticket sales. That seems to be the trend now.
I think that, but I think one of the bigger keys is also the running time. What's the length of it? You know, if it's, which God forbid if it is, if this thing is like 90 minutes long, that helps out the movie theaters, but then the fans might not like it because that means they're just sitting there saying, well, you're key chunks of this movie, and I don't know what the storyline of the movie is right now, but possible key chunks of the storyline that you possibly could have stuck in, now you deleted, you're taking it out. And I think that none of us want another situation like Batman vs. Superman, where you put out this version in the theaters, and then 6 months down the line, you put a DVD out that's got what you should have put in the theaters. I don't think anybody wants that.
Well, you're going to have that anyway with these superhero films. There are some cuts of the movies where you see, and there are scenes that weren't in the movie. I was just watching Underworld the other day, and I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, where did that come from? That wasn't in the movie when I saw it in the movie. But when they re-release them on TV or on DVD or what have you, they add some scenes into the movie time.
Yeah, but that part, when it comes to television, particularly broadcast television, that's notorious. They've been doing that for eons. I mean, hell, you can go back matter of fact, me and my mom, we was talking about cable the other day. And, you know, I mean, I'm a little older than some of the people out there, but, you know, what y'all don't realize, that, you know, ABC, CBS, and NBC, every Sunday night, used to show movies, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, they would have movies on that would have, like, if you can find it online, Superman 2, you know. There's a version of Superman 2 where it has stuff in there that's not on, not only is it not on the DVD, the Blu-ray, or the VHS tape, but it was never in the theaters. But it came with television. They added scenes to it because they got to fill it out.
Right.
That doesn't strike me as anything. But when what I'm talking about is saying, like, you know, okay, you put out Black Panther,
yeah, right,
and it clocks in at about 140 minutes. But then you get the DVD, it comes out, let's see, Black Panther comes out in February. So let's say August, Black Panther comes out on Blu-ray. And you know the movie, when you saw it, was an hour and 40 minutes long. They tell you, well, now the DVD is going to be 2 hours and 10 minutes. Like, yo, wait a minute. That's what I'm talking about. You want to add a couple of extra scenes? You made a couple extra changes? I'm cool with that. But don't rip out huge chunks of it and then stick it on Blu-ray. And now I say, well, this is the version you should have saw. Like, I don't want to hear that. I want the version that I should have saw. Let me see it when I should have saw it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like I said, you know, you're not gonna see that on a scale, on the same scale as you see with DVD, because Marvel is not scared of its product. They trust their directors, they trust their crews, they trust what's going on with the people they've chosen to run these films. So they don't have a problem with that, you know, as long as you stick with the confines of what Disney says, you know, no blood, blah 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 blah, whatever, you know, Disney's notorious for not showing people die, but even though they do some racy stuff, but, you know, whatever, and in cartoons for that fact. But, you know, the bottom line is that you're not going to, or I should say, you're going to get a full film. You're definitely going to get a full film. I can't see this film being any less than 2.5 hours, or at the most 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's the bare minimum I see this film being. Anything less than that, then yeah, it's going to be a problem. But once again, we're talking about Disney versus Marvel. I mean, Disney versus DC, and with Warner Brothers, whereas, you know, Disney trusts the leadership that they have in place for the Marvel division. So that was the whole thing that Kevin Feige was fighting for, was to be able to have full autonomy and not have executives breathing down his neck. So why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? It's like, bitch, no. You get the money, secure the financing, let us make the film. Okay? That's how this needs to work. You don't have
exactly
that at Warner Brothers. You have people at Warner Brothers that are in fear, for whatever reason, of failing, and that fear is translating into bad decisions. Like, I mean, you know, this is almost a perfect segue to go into DC and the deleted scene from Justice League. Like, it seems like they did a lot of the same thing they did with Batman versus Superman. They cut out chunks of the film. Why? Well, you had two directors directing the film. One was doing reshoot, so you had plenty of footage to still produce a 2 hour, you know, a 2.5 hour film. But you chose to cut it back, and not only did you cut it back, you took stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then once again, it was stuff that would help more with the continuity of the film. I'm not going to sit and defend this one.
We can't defend it until they come out. We're just sitting there saying, you know, this is what we hope doesn't happen. And what we will
happen. I'm talking about for Justice League. I'm not even going to try to defend it this time. It's just ridiculous. They have no trust in their team to execute what they need to execute. Even though I think Zack Snyder he's Zack Snyder. I mean, he did 300. He did, you know, as much as people don't like it, you know, he did Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch was beautiful. It, you know, the storyline may have sucked to some people, but it was still a good damn movie. It was still put together well.
I totally agree. I think Zack Snyder visually is incredible. I'm never going to doubt that one. Now, his script-wise, that's debatable, you know.
It's not as bad as people seem. I mean, does it need work? Does his writing need work? Possibly, yes. You know, who can deny? Who doesn't need work? And maybe him more so than anybody else. But the bottom line is...
No, I disagree with that part. I disagree because Michael Bay needs a whole lot of...
Zack Snyder can write circles around Michael Bay. Blow up, pretty chick, slow motion, blow up, pretty chick.
Yeah, Michael Bay needs Hooked on Phonics like really, really badly because damn, dude, some of the stuff that you write like, huh? I don't even say it that way in real life.
Yeah, and basically he writes his films, he writes visually, so, you know, and you know, with him, he writes more so to what he sees, so it's not as, the dialogue is, he's more so writing, you know, how the camera angles and stuff are going to go versus, you know, writing an actual script with words and meaning and direction and all that good stuff that makes a film, but, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I'm not going to defend. I can't stick up for Black Panther because we're still too far away. We can't do that until really February. But I have, and I try not to go into a movie. Certain movies, yes, my anticipation level is high, but you know, try not to give it too much energy so that if it fails, I feel like I'm being let down. I'm just saying, I think that Disney is going to do the right thing because Disney is now looking out and said, this has to be, and actually although it's under Disney, I think this is more doing with Marvel because Marvel's in the saying, look, we have this history. We have a set plan on how we do these things, how we want it to look, how long we need to run, how we should promote it. And I think that because it's now an African-American film, that's not going to change. I think they'll stay the same course and give it the same amount of backing as they would give Guardians or Thor or Iron Man. They're going to do it with Black Panther. That's what I think. That's what I'm hoping. Maybe a little bit of praying. But until like you figure like mid-January when we start getting seen how many theater councils and stuff, I just got to be optimistic with Black Panther. I think it's going to be great. I know it's going to be great because of the cast in it. I know it's going to be great. I know it's going to be action-packed. And I think that Marvel needs that because this is the jump off to – because if you look at this is the end of Phase 3. The next to last film of the end of Phase 3 because Infinity War is the end of Phase 3. Then we go into Phase 4. You know? We already know Captain Marvel is coming in Phase 4. You got Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming in Phase 4. And do they do another? Do they do a Hulk? And who? What other characters should they be doing? Particularly, and I think that question becomes more relevant. I mean, I was going to hold off on this one, this thing with the Avengers, but since we're discussing right now, I think that question becomes more relevant if Fox gets sold to Disney, and Marvel picks up all those characters. I think that question is what's next becomes far more relevant question, and I think then it becomes a far more difficult question because I think the first question you ask is which Fox franchise do you reboot? Do you reboot X-Men or do you reboot Fantastic Four? Which one? I mean, you would have to reboot both of them, but which one do you do first? X-Men or Fantastic Four?
Well, technically speaking, because it's coming back home, it's not a reboot. Technically.
Well, I would say maybe X-Men would not be a reboot, right? Fantastic Four, yes, that's got to be a reboot because you have to erase the stench of the previous one.
No, you don't. Again, no, you don't. And here's the reason why. I'll tell you why. Because, A, you already established the story. You did two origin movies, basically, which was unnecessary. The next film should have been, because you already had a Rise of the Silver Surfer, and the only thing that killed that was that stupid Galactus, but you already had the storyline set. You could have just went right into a new film with the new actors and everything and wouldn't have been able to miss a beat as long as the story was good and strong. But, unfortunately, they're stupid, don't know what they're doing, and so they screwed up again. Now, when it comes back to, when everything comes back to Marvel, here's what's going to happen. No need for an origin story. No need to go back and recast it. Well, no need to go back and try to bring the actors forward who were there before, blah, blah, blah. The only thing you're redoing over again at this point is new character. Well, new actors and actresses to play, new actors to play the role. And you can start off with fresh new stories. We know who the X-Men are. We know what they're, by now, everybody knows what it is. If this was a thing to where it was just comic book fans and, going into it that understood the universe and understood where everything was and who the characters were, who the characters are and how everything plays out, totally different story. Yes, that maybe another origin is necessary. But right at this point now, you have what is this now? Almost 10 to 15 years, 20 years almost, going forward of these films. There's nothing you need to do. The only thing you need to do is just produce new films, new stories, tie them all together like you've been doing, and keep it moving. There's no need right now for any kind of origin story, any kind of reboot. The only origin stories we should be seeing right now is of new characters. That's it, like the New Mutants, Cable, Domino. Those are the stories that we are necessary to see and to hear. But outside of that, just for the basic core, for Storm, Cyclops, Iceman, Havoc, Storm, Professor Xavier, Beast, Kitty Pryde, Psylocke, and whoever, Angel, and whoever else you want to say, at this point in time, there is no need. There is no need
Okay. All right, the X-Men, I think you might be a little right with the X-Men because I think what works the advantage is because the people that were in the recent X-Men's, not the ones with Hugh Jackman, but the ones with James McAvoy, they're still pretty young. And as each one came out, they kept younging up the cast. So now Jennifer Lawrence has said that right now she's not interested in doing any more X-Men movies. Now, would that attitude change if it goes back into the hands of Marvel? And in that case, you could say the same thing with Hugh Jackman. But Hugh Jackman changed his stance, saying, "I'm finished with Logan, even though I did Logan, but I will be willing to go back to Wolverine," because he did say, point blank, he said, if the X-Men could get into the Marvel universe, I'd be willing to come back. So if that happens,
not to cut you off, but hell yeah, he's going to do that. A, it's a smart career move. B, Hugh Jackman is that guy that everybody gets. Chemistry of him on that set with the current cast, crazy. Crazy. Even though we're going to lose some of them in Infinity War, but still crazy. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Disney bought Marvel in between now and Infinity War, the second Infinity War movie. I wouldn't be surprised if they snuck some X-Men into that.
Oh, that might be it. Well, that might be hard to do. It certainly is possible if they could wrap it up, like in the next few months. Yes, and I think that's one of the questions that I wanted to ask. With that Avengers trailer dropping, we pretty much saw who's going to be in the movie. Who do you think if, all right, you're sitting in the movie theater and you're watching this and you're already amazed. Who comes in that screen that makes you sit there and say, oh, my God, you never saw this character being in this movie? So, like, would that be someone for, would that be someone from the X-Men, or would that be someone from Fantastic Four, or is it just anybody, the Punisher, if the Punisher showed up in the movie?
Well, they already slayed it. You got to remember, this is Infinity War. So two things are going to happen with this movie. One, the scope of the film is going to be large. That's first and foremost, because it's Thanos. And unfortunately, the Avengers are not just going to be able to go up against him, you know, by themselves. Number two, because they missed out on Civil War being Civil War, the way Civil War should have been in the, like in the comic book, this is the opportunity for Marvel to bring in and introduce new characters, which they already said, they already slated that and said that when they first, like, before they were even in pre-production. I remember there were some things going around that they said that there's going to be up to, like, between 30 and 50 characters, other characters in this film that you haven't seen yet.
But I'm saying, which character, if you're sitting and saying, you're in the theater and you're saying, there's no way this person shows up, and that character all of a sudden shows up in the screen, you're like, hot damn, holy crap. I mean, do you have a character in mind that says, like, I would love to see this person, this character in this movie? But right now you're saying, there's no way, because they wouldn't have thought to put this person in here, but bam, they show up.
Well, right now, what I can honestly say is, I honestly believe that, just of my own opinion, I think that, because of the Infinity Gauntlet season, a series that was back in the 80s or whatever it was, the 90s, whatever it was, there's so many missing. So the only person that I would love to see come in is the Silver Surfer, because you can't really have part of that. Like, even that scene, like, even with Thor Ragnarok and Thor, the scene when Thor was fighting Hulk in the arena, you know, that actually was supposed to be Silver Surfer, you know, in the comic when it was Planet Hulk. That was the Silver Surfer is the one, he was the one that came and fought the Hulk. So if I had to choose, it would be him. It's Silver Surfer, because honestly, you know, aside from Thor and possibly one or two others, Silver Surfer, with his power cosmic, he's the next, he's damn near a god. He can basically, he could destroy Thanos, up until, you know, with that Thanos without the gauntlet, without the power of the Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with Silver Surfer.
I kind of agree with that one. I think Silver Surfer. I do think that personally. I think that Captain Marvel, the girl. She's gonna make an appearance in there, and I even agree with you. This, if they can actually get it done, I wouldn't be too surprised if The Rock shows up in this as either Shazam or whatever character he's playing. I wouldn't be too surprised to see him show up in it either.
What, in the Marvel film?
No, I'm sorry. He's supposed to be playing Shazam, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's DC Universe. That's not Marvel.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Take that back then. Well, who knows, right? They could have him playing a DC character, a Marvel character. Hell, he could have a guy playing He-Man. They could have Rock doing all kinds. He could be doing five movies that was the same damn time.
Yeah. I forgot what the other character's name is from Shazam, but I think that's the character that he's playing. I don't think he's playing Shazam. I think he's playing another character from Shazam, if I'm not mistaken. Black Lightning or Black something. I can't remember what the character's name is. But that movie is going to be incredible. The trailer was incredible, and it was just It was just everything.
Oh, my God. People, I saw people's reaction. People were crying. They were like, oh, my God.
When I was watching it, I was like, wow, man. I can't believe it's actually happening.
Wow. And I think that the last shot when the Guardian showed it, it was like, they really did it. It's like, no, I heard they was going to do it, but they really did. They really pulled all the movie franchises together into this one movie. This is going to be awesome, and it had better be awesome. And then I know you DC guys out there, I know y'all felt some kind of way, like, why couldn't we do that with Justice League? Why couldn't we get that same level in Justice League? I know you guys out there were feeling that way. Talk to Warner Brothers. Talk to Warner Brothers. Because they're messing it up for you guys.
And it's a sad case because Warner Brothers have really strong characters and, staple characters that are, like, literally stapled into the fabric of, American life, of the world, really. And, you're just not coming with it. I mean, it just makes no sense to me. No sense.
None. But I know on that last episode we were talking about this whole justice thing. Now, I want to honestly get your opinion. If DC will launch their universe, not when the Christopher Nolan Batman came out, but when the Tim Burton Batman came out, because right then, you had the Tim Burton Batman, and you still kind of sort of have the Richard Donner Supermans. Should they have launched it then?
I mean, what, looking like it does now?
Well, no, obviously it wouldn't look how it does now. But should they have went and started taking these comic books and making films out of it then? I mean, technically they did. Because I get them confused. The Punisher is Marvel, right? But they didn't.
Yeah.
But all of their properties, they kind of sort of just sat on them and kept playing like the wait and see thing. Well, let's wait and see how this is. Let's wait. And then now you got the Christopher Nolan movies come out. Which exceeded what you thought, because the first Christopher Nolan Batman was coming off, once again, considered one of the worst movies made, Batman and Robin. But you get a fresh perspective, and then let's say, okay, you wait and say, okay, let's see what the next one is. Now you're coming off The Dark Knight. It was now being considered one of the greatest movies made, one of the greatest comic movies ever made. You should have started it then. You should have started planting your seeds then. But once again, you waited. I just think that Warner Brothers has blown too many opportunities, and now it's really like you're just trying to play catch up. You're trying to play catch up and be individual at the same time. But now
sure.
the fans are expecting this certain look, this certain movie style, this certain and this kind of certain pacing. Like the Marvel fans, they're not trying to go for the gusto in every single movie because they know that there is a big plan coming. So as much as they'll come out and say, Iron Man 2 was just okay, but I know there's something else coming because we know the Avengers is coming. Ant-Man was pretty damn good, but we know something else is coming. I don't know what the hell Guardians of the Galaxy is, but I trust Marvel that it's going to be good and it's going to tie into everything else that's going on. DC just doesn't have that kind of moviegoer or fan loyalty going on with their film properties. But I bet you if they did that for television, they'd be fine with it.
Yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad all around for DC. So bad. And now people, because of the stunts that they're pulling, it's like people don't want to... Ben Affleck doesn't want to stay, so who else is probably going to leave? Gal Gadot is probably signed in, but she's not going to leave. She's fucking Wonder Woman. She's the best thing about DC right now, so she's not going anywhere.
Oh yeah, everything is about Gal Gadot right now. Everything is about Gal Gadot right now, right? She can pretty much at this point she can pretty much get away with whatever she felt like it. And, don't get me wrong. I know we harp on DC a lot DC's got some real good stuff. You just gotta, come on, guys, just have a little faith, and everything will be fine. Just appoint a crew, whether it's a guy, one individual or a team, to just handle the DC division of Warner Brothers. Let them run. Same way as you have a team that handles the Warner Brothers division for Harry Potter. They just deal with Harry Potter and nothing else, and it works out. It gives them the latitude to make the movie, and it works out fine. Let DC have that same thing. Stop pigeonholing them, and everything will be fine.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, no, I sit there and I don't even know what to say about DC anymore. They're just they're pretty much dead in the water, in my opinion.
Mhm. And you see, as I said, it is Justice League is slowly falling. It's got, realistically speaking, one more week to make some money, because next week it's not making jack. Nobody's making jack except one, because there's this little movie coming that's going to like corner the market for the Christmas season. And with Justice League topping out, I think it's going to top out somewhere around, I'm going to see just maybe between 250 to 265 for a domestic total. That's horrible. That's horrible. Sorry, but that's horrible. For that kind of movie, that kind of event film, that's horrible.
Yeah, but it is what it is. I mean, if they would have just left the movie alone. And also, you got to remember, too, once again, I honestly believe, and people can say what they want, word of mouth has really hurt this film, because they just, you know, people in their word of mouth just basically killed this movie. I mean, the Justice League movie was good, and good as it was, I mean, it would have been even better if they would have had all the scenes in there and, you know, and did the thing the way they needed to do it. But, you know, what are you going to do? And we can talk.
Yeah, that's what you can do.
At this point, it's almost like we're beating a dead horse.
Exactly. We are definitely beating a dead horse. You know, we just have to wait until Aquaman comes out, and I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, I mean, but there's other stuff to talk about besides that. You know, we're actually going to do a shorter show today. We're not going to last until we get tired of talking. Cut it a little short for time day. But I just found this out. This just came across my screen about a couple hours ago. What do you think of Netflix's decision to just bring back on an abbreviated season of House of Cards, but just cut out Kevin Spacey?
They're doing what?
They're gonna bring back on Netflix is gonna bring back on House of Cards, right? But they are not going to have, they're going to call this their final season, but they're not going to have Kevin Spacey on the show. They're going to X out his character. Whether it be he gets assassinated, and then how they do that, I don't know. Whether he gets assassinated, he dies, he just off somewhere and can't be reached. I mean, I don't know, because I have not seen the show, so I don't know how they're going to do that one. But what do you think of the decision to bring back House of Cards? Because a lot of people thought that, you know, okay, Kevin Spacey got these sexual allegations, but it affected the cast, the crew, the production company, and everybody had to suffer for this one guy. So I guess Netflix had to change their heart and say, okay, we'll bring it back. You give everybody else another year of work, give them a chance to find another job, but Kevin Spacey is the only one that suffers.
That wasn't the case. That they didn't do that because of that. They did that probably because they were probably contractually bound to make another film and everything was already set in motion. People were probably already paid, things, you know, locations were probably paid for. It was probably too expensive to cut and just basically a better reason to keep it going. And I honestly think they're calling this the last season. But if the numbers are good, if their numbers still turn out, if their viewership still turns up the way it's supposed to and becomes even more so, because now Kevin Spacey is gone, because you know, they're going to want to see how he's going to be removed. Is he even going to be in the next film? Is he going to be assassinated in the next film? Which is the only thing that really makes sense. Kill him and, you know, let somebody else defeat him. So, I don't know. Honestly, at this point, that whole thing, it's not even relevant. I mean, that show can go on for a couple more seasons without him. But, you know, once again, like I said, the numbers game. They're probably going to test the water, see what happens. If it works out well, then you may get a season 7 out of it. If they can pull, and they were also already talking about doing some story arcs from some of the supporting cast. So, you know, that's also another direction to go.
Well, I might agree with a lot of stuff that, you know, they already paid for the production, the costumes, all that stuff. So, and I think the bill was just too high for them to just say just eat it. So I agree with that one, but I do like the decision. I mean, let's be real, they could have just said the hell with it, you know, because we just don't want the media scrutiny, we don't want to be associated with them. So I do feel that I think it is a great gesture for them to say, listen, everybody should not suffer because of one person. Because no one else in the cast, everybody in the cast basically has gotten fired, you know, for something that they didn't even do. So I give a little bit of credit to Netflix for bringing back House of Cards. Let them have a final year, you know, because not only does it mess with their current money they're going to make for doing brand new episodes, but that also messes up their residual money in the future too. It really truly does. So at least they got, you know, the cast will have a chance to prove it, and then you could take that huge fired off of your list. And no, we didn't get fired. Our show ran its course. Saying that my show ran its course is a whole lot easier than saying, well, we got canceled.
True that.
Yes. Yeah.
But
what
I
else could?
I just don't think it's they're contractually signed some things, but, you know, that's the only reason why they're carrying it out. At this point, you know, like I said, they can carry the show on, but, you know, I guess they figured, you know, without, I guess they figured spacing would be a draw, and they're hedging their, you know, they're basically hedging everything on, you know, well, Kevin's gone now. So because of his allegations, he's probably taken about 80% of people with him. And, you know, not in a good way, but, you know, he's leaving. So they figure, like, oh, well, okay, that's the show. You know, the only way, like I said, the only way that show can come back is if they bring somebody in or they use somebody, a member of the cast that's already there, and do a spin-off show or continue on to a season 8 with, you know, this new cast.
Yeah. I think so too. I think it was a good move on their part. Yeah. No, I don't want to be saying that. My show was fired. I was fired from a show and I ain't did shit.
Yeah, but the longer, you know, the world's not gonna look at it like that. The wife's gonna look at it like, oh, well, you know, you lost your job because somebody decided that's not even the case. You know, the lead actor in the show, it's fired. So, you know, basically you built 6 seasons off of that. You know, what do? You get somebody to go in, get somebody to come out, get everybody strong enough to do it. So, you know, I don't think the right thing to look at it the same thing about that fire to go. The more so it's like, you know, some of it screwed up and, you know, how many other projects, you know, and you gotta remember, Kevin Spacey was also in other projects besides from this. They got affected by this, they got canceled this. You know, those people are not even going to work for the new project.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. You know, unless he gets replaced.
Wow. Well, congrats to everybody involved with House of Cards. You got a job for another year. Live it up. Robin Wright, that's one more check for you. That's one more check for you. You know, and until you start getting that alimony from Sean Penn. Let me stop. That's not even funny.
You know?
That's not even funny. So let me say something like that, and then I get misquoted. You know. But listen, everybody, we are going to wrap our show up early today. Just a couple of quick reminders. Well, first of all, Real Talk Director, hosted by our illustrious leader Wesley Clark, who's unfortunately not on the line tonight. He's a little busy in the lab doing some stuff, you know. But we had to give a shout out to India Morrell, Dollhouse Radio, for having us on. Real Talk with the Director will be taking a break in the upcoming weeks. We are breaking for the holiday season. So our last show will be our last show for the year will be next Monday, December the 11th, will be our last show for the year. And we will not come back on until, I take that back. No. Our last show will be December the 18th. That is our last show for the year. And then we will be back on January the 8th. That's when we're going to turn. We're going to take 2 weeks off for Christmas and Thanksgiving. You know, we got a few things that we're going to be working on while we're gone. We're still going to be, make sure you follow all of us on our social medias, because we still be updating you with what goes on in Hollywood and what we find out. Wes is still shooting his TV series. So that will be coming very, very soon. You know, Kiki Swenson's novel, not going nowhere. It's coming, and it should be coming out. I don't know, maybe Wes can do everybody a favor and give us a little sneak peek in early January of some of the work of Playing Dirty, maybe like a little teaser, just something to get something to get your appetite sweat, maybe so. But I just want to make that clear that our last show for this year will be December the 18th, and then we will be off for 2 weeks, and we will not be back until January 8th, 2018. On that show, I did it first time last year. I think I might do it again. I might give away a couple of movie awards, best picture of the year, worst picture of the year, a movie that I feel like I want to burn up, that I saw that I feel like I want to burn the theater down, which is still for this year's Baywatch. They still owe me because Priyanka Chopra wasn't in the bathing suit. She wasn't in a bikini. So I said I was going to burn the theater down, so I still got to burn the theater down because of that one. But, a lot of good movies will be coming out this holiday season. I think we'll even talk a little bit about that in the next coming week, some of the movies that you should be checking out for besides Star Wars. What else you need to be checking out for? Disaster Artist for the holiday upcoming season. And that's really it for tonight. Hopefully our fearless leader Wesley will be able to come on next Monday. So make sure you tune in to us every Monday night between the hours of 8 and 10 p.m. here on Dollhouse Radio. And so what's the saying, Wes? I mean, Kat, what's the saying that Wesley uses? Because he says it much better than me.
You can love us, you can leave us, but don't ever forget about us. Merry Christmas.
Right, don't ever forget about us. So with those words being said, on behalf of the full Jedi Council, myself and Kevin and Wes, we want to say good night and make sure you tune in next week. So good night, everybody.